following message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 11th, 2017. The title of the message is The All-Inclusive Christ, The Mystery of God's Economy, and The Mystery of God. Scripture verses are Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, and 16 and 17.
Thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, we pray you would open your word to us this morning.
Amen.
Speak to every heart.
Amen.
We live by every word out of your mouth.
Amen.
Oh, we pray you will feed us by your living word.
Amen.
We love you, Lord,
Amen.
And we love your word.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this week we've been still remaining on Colossians chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. Praise the Lord for the Bible.
Amen.
So good to be in the Word of God. I'd like to open just with this little intro. You know, I think most of us realize that God has an eternal purpose. And we see this purpose in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, that God has created us according to His image. In His image and according to His likeness. And He has given us dominion over the birds of the heaven and over the fish of the sea and over all the cattle and over all the earth and especially the creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. We were made in God's image to express Him and to exercise His authority on the earth today. And eventually in eternity we will be one with Him in this same purpose. And this purpose was not made known in the generations. This purpose was hidden. It was a mystery. But thank the Lord that we are here and we have seen this purpose. By revelation, this purpose not only was made known to Paul, but was made known through Paul's writing, through the scriptures now, to all of us. What a blessing that we could know we are created in the image of God and that our lives are... We are here living a daily life to express God and even to exercise His authority. And recently I heard this testimony that some saints have been praying. They have a prayer meeting every week, a small group prayer meeting. And they were testifying I heard this testimony that everything they have prayed for has come to pass already. So I immediately got my prayer requests in on there, okay, then pray for this. We have the authority, right? God has given us the authority, and if we will pray in faith and with a good conscience and take care of a few items for our prayer, the Lord will not only hear, but He will answer. Now, sometimes it takes a number of years, but anyway, He will answer. So we need to have the full assurance of this. And the reason I kind of open with this is because we have this title, The All-Inclusive Christ, The Mystery of God's Economy and The Mystery of God. Today we're talking about mysteries. And in Colossians 2:2, we read this verse this morning. It says that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. So here in Colossians chapter 2, it tells us very clearly, God is a mystery. God is invisible. If you want to know this mystery, you have to come to Christ. And this is very practical. You know, when the Lord Jesus was incarnated and lived on the earth among man for 33 and a half years, He expressed God. He was the embodiment of God. Even the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. If you wanted to know the love of God, just come to this person. He loved mankind as God loves man, and He lived according to that love of God and express the love of God to all the ones around Him. He is really the mystery of God. And in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4, well, let's read 3 and 4 together again. Ephesians 3, 3 and 4, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief, by which in reading it you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Now you have this phrase, the mystery of Christ. Ephesians is a book on the church, and the church is the mystery of Christ. In the same way that Christ revealed who God is and expressed who God is, today the church on the earth, in all the local churches, we should be those who are expressing Christ. Christ is also invisible. He is now the life-giving Spirit. He's very real, but not physically visible or tangible. We can contact Him, but not physically. So the church has a great responsibility because the church is the mystery of Christ. And Christ is made known through the church. And this is also very, very practical. I think all of us have this kind of testimony. We were not saved, I certainly was not saved by the preaching of God directly from the heavens. How about you? I was saved through a member of the body of Christ, who spoke something of the gospel to me. And I think we all have the similar experience. We came to know the Lord Jesus through a member of the body of Christ. The church, as the mystery of Christ, preached the gospel to us. Paul even uses this term, the mystery of the gospel. We heard these mysteries through someone in the body of Christ. So we have these two mysteries, the mystery of God, which is Christ, and the mystery of Christ, which is the church. And this morning we're on this point of the all-inclusive Christ being not only the mystery of God, but the mystery of God's economy, which is a very particular phrase. And so I just wanted to share something on this matter of God's economy. You know, God has this purpose to be expressed and to exercise His dominion. But to do that, He has a plan. He has a way to carry out His purpose. In His heart, there's a desire, right? Praise the Lord, He's opened His heart to us. And according to that heart's desire, He decided to do something. He exercised His will and planned how He will accomplish this purpose. And this plan of God is known in the Bible as the economy of God. He has a way to carry out His purpose. And this is according to His economy, according to His plan. And this word in Greek is called oikonomia. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it means the house law or the household administration. And it was used in the ancient times very commonly because the households were very large at that time. Maybe three or four generations lived together. There might have been 70 or 80 or 90 people living together in that household compound or whatever. And so the riches of that household, the food stuff, the clothing, all the things needed to carry on their living and their daily life had to be distributed to all the members of the household, and that was their household economy. They had an arrangement to do that. They had a way to carry that out. And oftentimes they would have stewards in that household or servants in that household to help carry out the economy of that, the head of that household, the father of that family. And God is no different. He has a marvelous household, and He wants to distribute all of His riches to every one of us. And this distribution, this dispensing, is His economy. And this economy also is a mystery, not known to the generations, and not known in times past, right, to the ages before, but now has been revealed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we commonly talk about God's economy, the economy of God. And the center of this economy, the focus of this economy, is Christ. And there are many portions of Scripture that talk about this or that show this. Colossians is certainly one. Colossians is a book on Christ. But I think this last training we had in Ezekiel gives us a very good picture of this. And there's a verse in Ezekiel 1:15 that talks about the wheel, right? And we don't have it on our sheet. But it mentions that, you know, when there is the coordination of these four living creatures, there is a great wheel right next to them for the move of God in His economy. And the wheel has a hub, it has spokes, and it has a rim. And we saw in that training that Christ is the center of God's economy. He is the focal point of God's economy. He is the wheel in God's economy. And we all are extending out from Christ as the spokes. And so the church is the rim of this economy moving, or the body of Christ is the rim of this economy moving on the earth. And whenever we have our coordinating together as the four living creatures, these wheels appear. And this economy moves. This picture moves. Last night we had a little dinner for all those who are serving in the, not all, but for many who are serving in the Memorial Day conference and taking some responsibility in arranging the service and taking care of all the service. And one brother shared from this verse that last night. It was quite impressive. He said, when we were all coordinated together, like he was expressing that, and many expressed this, we had no idea how we were going to carry out all of this service in that conference. There were hundreds of saints involved, the children's service and the nursery and the transportation service and the ushering service, music service, so many areas of the service. And he said, we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we prayed that the Lord would arrange it and work it out. And he said, when we were coordinated together, like the four living creatures, this coordination was so precious and so sweet. And he said, it was like there was a great wheel next to us moving through all the weekend of our service. And we served joyfully, happily, fully supplied by the Lord in what? In this economy of God, in which Christ is the center. He is the focal point. And he is, you know, the economy of God. Oftentimes we draw this wire diagram. It is Christ in his incarnation, in his human living, in his crucifixion, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in his being dispensed into us. This is the economy of God. He is being God, the triune God, is being dispensed into every one of us day by day, moment by moment, for us to enjoy. And that is the economy of God. But this economy is not known to everyone, so we need to speak it. We need to share with our co-workers, with our relatives, with our neighbors, with all those we come in contact with, that our God loves them, has a heart for them, and he has a plan for them. And they need to jump in and get involved in this great economy of God, of which and in which Christ is the center. He is the focal point of this economy. So I really enjoyed that this week. Now, I'd like to cover a couple of points I enjoyed, and then I want to leave a lot of time for you to share what you've enjoyed this week. One of the things that I enjoyed is from the second day of our morning revival, day two of our morning revival, Colossians 1:27. Can we read that verse again? To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, on Friday night, we had a marvelous fellowship. It was a marvelous meeting. Freddie told me this morning he really enjoyed that meeting Friday night. And a lot of the saints shared. It was very, very rich. And I enjoyed everyone sharing. And one of the things I enjoyed, the first thing in this verse I enjoyed, that it is God's will to make this known. This is a marvelous thing. It's his will. He wants us to see this. He wants us to know what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. He doesn't want to keep it a mystery. He wants us to know it. And that is his will. Sometimes, you know, saints will ask us, or young people will say, what is God's will? I want to know what God's will is for me, you know. And it's true, we need to seek God's will for our life, and that's really good. But sometimes when they ask, what is his will, I point them to these kinds of verses. His will is that you would know his economy. His will is that you would know the mystery, right? The mystery of Christ, the mystery of God, you would know the mystery of his economy. He wants us to know what He is doing, and He wants us to be involved in it. And this week, this phrase really struck me, which I hadn't paid that much attention to before. The riches of the glory of this mystery. I really enjoyed this phrase. The riches. What are the riches of the glory of this mystery? In the beginning of the portion of the life study we read on Tuesday, Brother Lee starts like this. As believers in Christ, we know the riches of the glory of this mystery. And when I read that, I thought, wait a minute. I don't know the riches of the glory of this mystery. And I'm a believer. I thought, how can he say it? You know. And then the more I got into it, I said, well, maybe I do know a little bit. As believers, brothers and sisters, we know the riches of the glory of this mystery. And we cannot exhaust the riches of the glory of the mystery. There is such a glory here. And then on the same day we had Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make His home in your hearts through faith. I love these verses. I've spoken a lot about these verses, but this week I really was struck with the same phrase. He would grant you according to the riches of His glory that you would be strengthened, right? That you, Christ would make His home. It's according to these riches. And that's His will, that we would know what are the riches of this glory. You know, Ephesians 3:8, let's read that verse. Ephesians 3:8. Talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? We didn't have it in our scripture reading. Let's read this verse together. To me, less than the least of all saints, Christ is unsearchably rich. We cannot count, we can't enumerate all the riches, but we can know them. We can experience them. We can enjoy the riches of the glory of this mystery. I think it was the second message in our Memorial Day conference. We came to this point that the tree of life is the center, right, of the picture in Genesis there. And that points us to the footnote in Revelation that our enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life should be the primary matter in the church life. And I was very struck by that. And that message goes on to talk about, you know, we have problems, the church has problems, but the solution to all the problems is that we would enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. If our enjoyment of Christ, and when our enjoyment of Christ is the primary matter in our daily life, all our problems are solved. If they're the primary matter in the church life and all of us are enjoying the riches of the glory of this precious Christ, the problems just dissolve. They don't affect us. We're not consumed by them. Why? Because we are focused on God's economy. We are focused on what the Lord wants to do on the earth today, what He is doing. We are focused on this enjoyment of the riches of the glory, and strengthen into our inner man by enjoying these riches. And by that strengthening, Christ is able to make His home and spread into our mind, our emotion, our will, our conscience, to all the rooms of our heart. And that is how He is growing in us. And by His growing in us, we're being built together. And when we're being built together, the bride is being prepared. And when the bride is prepared, then the Lord will come back. And as I've said so many times, that is why we're here. That is why we wake up every morning. That is why we're in the church life, to bring the Lord back. Amen. And I think, I don't know if it's because I'm getting old. I'm already old. I'm getting older. I just can't wait for the Lord to come back. I just think this world is getting worse and worse and worse, week by week. And I, you know, I just don't want to be here anymore, Brother Ed. But I sure would like to see the Lord come back first before I go to be with him. But anyway, we're here for this, right? So we should be here enjoying the riches of the glory of this mystery. And we also had Romans 8:30. It says, "And those whom he predestinated, these he also called. And those whom he called, these he also justified. And those whom he justified, these he also glorified." You know, and we are beholding and reflecting him from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. We are enjoying the riches of the glory. Glory is God expressed. And when we enjoy God being expressed, we express him.
Amen.
And I think we are being glorified. Not because, you know, we're getting a new, you know, merit badge and, you know, I don't know. It's not that we're being, we're getting the glory. He's getting the glory.
Amen.
God is getting the glory. But in that experience of God being expressed and God getting the glory, something is happening in our, right? We're being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. God's salvation is operating in us and working in us. Something's happening that at least the demons know God is getting the glory. Satan knows, and I think many times people know, but something's happening inside of us. Maybe invisible, maybe we don't realize it, but it is very real. We are being transfigured, we're being transformed and conformed and glorified. Eventually, there will be a consummation, right? Our bodies will be redeemed. They will be. We will have a glorified body. But even before that, I think day by day, we can experience the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you,
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
Yes, we have a glorious hope. We're not hopeless. Our life is not hopeless. We have a glorious hope. But while we're here, in our jobs, in our families, on the earth today, at school, studying, while we're here, we can enjoy the riches of the glory of this precious Christ. And we can be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let me say something about the... let's read Colossians 3, 10 and 11. Say something about the church. Amen. A new man, which is being renewed. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all. Again, from the life study, Brother Lee said, how can we say that Christ is all? He is all the members of the body. Of course, we all know he is in all the members of the body, but he is all the members of the body. And Friday night, one of the brothers mentioned he's not only the head of the body, but he is the body of the head of the body. He is also the members of the body. How can we say this? Well, I thought it's very helpful to see that Brother Lee brings this out. It's a matter of experience. It's in our experience. If we are living Christ in our daily life, that is Christ is all. Then we are Christ. And if all of us are living Christ in our daily life, then the church is Christ. Because we are not living. Christ is living. If we're living in our natural man, we're not Christ. We're just our natural man. But if we, right, by the Lord's grace and mercy, are taking him as our life, and it's no longer I, but Christ is living in me, in our experience, not just in truth or in doctrine. It's true. We were buried. We were baptized, right? We were crucified. That's the truth. But what about my experience today? If we are really experiencing that we are no longer living, but Christ is living, then Christ is living on the earth in us. And then we are really Christ. And this is really this is what the Lord is after in the church life, that we would be those experiencing Him day by day. I had this little experience in these few days. Maybe it's been more like this month, but anyway, one of my most frequent failures is obeying the traffic rules and signals and lights and this. I don't know about you, but you know, I have a hard time driving 25 miles an hour in New York City, and as many camera tickets can attest, and sometimes I have trouble hitting the brake when that yellow light comes on, and even some camera offenses have happened because of that. And there they have my picture on the New York City websites, you know. Anyway, you get the point. My driving is not Christ yet. Still a lot of me. But I just started noticing this month that I started slowing down. And I started stopping at the yellow, and I'm not like, you know, like, such a hurry to get everywhere. And it just dawned on me this week, you know, and I was driving, and I just, you know, and it turned yellow. I could have gotten through probably without a ticket. I probably could have gotten through. And in the past, I just would have gone. But the light turned yellow, and I just, well, okay, it's okay. It's only a couple of minutes, and I slowed down. And eventually, anyway, when this was happening this week, I realized, Lord, You're answering my prayer. Because I prayed about this, Lord. I want to, even in my driving, I want You to be living. I want You to be there. And I've been enjoying the Lord in the car a little more. Maybe that helps. But anyway, I just noticed this. And, you know, it's a little thing. It's not a big item. But I just felt, maybe give you this little testimony. This is really Christ in His victory. Victorious over my, you know, my flesh. I just like to drive faster. I want to, you know, over my natural man, over my natural habits. Christ is victor over that. He's overcoming that aspect in our daily life. So, it doesn't have to be big things. I think most of the times it's really in the little things that we are experiencing the Lord by enjoying the riches of His glory. We are being transformed in these little areas. The way we talk to our spouses, and the way we treat our children, and the way we are on our jobs. You know, the last couple of days in the portions here this week talked a lot about expressing Christ on the job. We need to give Christ the first place on our jobs. That was very precious. He talked a lot about this, and you know, in everything, in our speaking, and on our jobs, we need to give Christ the first place, the preeminence. Anyway, that comes to this last point I wanted to cover on the preeminence of Christ. Before I come to this last point, can we read Ephesians 3, 9 through 11? I should have read this when I was opening this word. Let's read this together. And to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here you have the economy of this mystery. And in verse 10, it's that it is made known through all the principalities and powers through the church. Through the church. Christ is making this mystery known. He's being expressed through the church. So all of these things in our daily living are very crucial. That's our church life. Our church life is not just coming to the meetings. It's our daily life. It's 24/7. We are living a church life. We are living Christ in our daily life. And when we express Him, when we enjoy Him, and He's overcoming things and gaining more in us, what's happening in verse 10? The multifarious wisdom of God is being made known. Maybe some on the job are noticing it. They realize, wow, everybody's getting, we're all afraid of getting laid off, but you're not so, how come you're not, you know, so afraid? Well, because, you know, there's an opportunity to testify there. Well, I believe in the Lord Jesus, and, you know, he got me this job. He can take it away. It's okay. It's up to him. You testify something like that, people may go, wow, that's something. God gets expressed. In all kinds of things in our daily life, what? This is God's economy, that God would get expressed in and through the church. And that is according to his purpose. Okay, now we come to Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Now I'll close with these verses. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. In him were all things created, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible. Or authorities, all things been created through him and unto him. Or things, and all things cohere in him. And he is the head of the body, the church, the first beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. So this week we cover these two firsts. He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn of all creation. And he is also the firstborn from the dead, which means that he's the firstborn in the old creation, and he is the firstborn in the new creation. He is the beginning. He is the first in everything. And verse 18 then mentions that he himself might have the first place in all things. So there were a couple of things I enjoyed from these verses and from this portion this week. And that is that all of the creation was created so that Christ could use any item in the old creation to describe him. I really enjoyed this, right? And so, you know, Christ said, I am the bread of life. So bread was made to describe Christ. He said, I'm the water of life, right? Water was made to describe Christ. Christ is the light, right? So whenever we see the sunlight or the moonlight, Christ is the real light. That's describing him. And then I enjoyed this little one. Foxes were created and birds were created. So the Lord could say, the foxes have holes and the birds have a place to lay their young, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This is really marvelous. And even he uses the thief to describe himself. That's against our concept, right? But he comes as a thief. There's an aspect that describes him in his second coming. Anyway, all of these things in creation. And it also shows that all the positive things in the universe are types of Christ, and we can enjoy him in everything that we, you know, sometimes we may have this realization, we're eating, we thank the Lord for our food, but then we realize, Lord, you're my real food. And I don't know if in your house you have a comfortable chair that you like to sit in to read, but I have one in my house, and when I'm sitting there, oftentimes I say, Lord, you're my real rest. You're my real comfy chair. Right? All these things point to Christ being the reality. And in a couple of weeks, we have this. We're going to have a week on this Christ. Enjoying Christ is all the positive things. But anyway, that struck me. And then in the new creation, he's the firstborn from among the dead. And this is very meaningful, that he might have the first place in all things. And so Brother Lee talks about this. Our work should be for Christ. On the job, we should give the Lord the first place. And I think this also is very, very practical. Wherever we are in our daily living, we should give him the first place. We should talk to him about everything. Ask him about everything. And he has a feeling about everything. And if we're willing to open to him, he will let us know how he feels about that thing. And how he feels about our, you know, how we're doing on the job, or our co-workers, maybe the Lord will burden someone on your job, burden you for someone to preach the gospel to them, or to fellowship with them. Maybe they're a Christian, to have some more fellowship with them. But if we don't give him the first place, then it's hard for us to live him out in our daily life. It really helps to see that we need to give him the first place in all things. And one brother shared on Friday night, he appreciated this verse, that we need to grow up into him in all things. Grow up into him who is the head in all things. And I think this verse also refers to many little things in our daily life, in our family life, and on our jobs. May we exercise our spirit. Amen. That in everything we do, in all of our work, in all of our relationship and our families, we would give Christ the first place. And when we do this, and I've testified this before, when we do this, oftentimes, especially with our family, the Lord is able to keep our mouth shut when we're about to say something to our spouse that we probably shouldn't say. But if we give him the first place, we get saved from that kind of thing. We get saved from expressing ourselves in our family relationships. So may we give the Lord the first place this week in all things, on our jobs and in our family, in our daily life, maybe even in our driving. We could give the Lord the first place, and we'll be saved from a lot of things. Praise the Lord.